Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, we're back to a series that we've entitled Deep Living as we're looking at the book of Ephesians. We've gone 12 sessions late last year into this study, and I hope you've enjoyed it. We've kind of tried to go slow, we've tried to go deep, not only learn about how we can have a deep relationship with the Lord, a deeper relationship with the Lord, but also how we can go deep into the Scriptures. And we've had a break for Thanksgiving, Communion, Christmas, and now we're ready to start back. So we're going to do a little bit different today. Rather than just jumping back in exactly the verse that we left off, I want to do just a quick review today, just to kind of ramp us up again, get our minds flowing again, and just kind of get a bigger picture of the book. I think that will be helpful to us. So today I've picked out what I've called my favorite things. And if you recall, if you're such an age to recall the film The Sound of Music, there's a scene in that film where Maria, who is taking care of the captain's children, it's a stormy night, the children are all afraid, and they come kind of rushing into her room, and to calm them, she sings the song, My Favorite Things. And maybe you recall that she just goes down this list, and the children kind of echo back their favorite things. And it ends with this phrase, when I remember my favorite things, then I don't feel so bad. Someone recently sent Julie and I this little alternate lyric version. And if you're old enough to remember The Sound of Music, this might be a little more in tune with where we are at. So you can put the music in your background. Cadillacs and cataracts, hearing aids and glasses. Polident, Fixident, and false teeth in glasses. Pacemaker, golf carts, and porches with swings. These are a few of my favorite things. When the pipes break, when the bones creak, when the knees go bad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Well, there's more to it, but I'll save you the lyrics. You can look them up if you'd like. But I want to go more than just things that make us not feel so bad. Because as this letter unfolds, as Paul goes deep into the relationship that we have with the Lord, and he talks about some very deep things, it should have a responsiveness, and we should have responsiveness to it. We should respond in certain ways. It's not just so that we can say, oh, I feel better. No, it's so I can live better, I can behave better, I can worship better, and so forth. So we want to just take it that way and look at these. First one is in chapter 1, and it's really at the very, very beginning of this wonderful list. It's chapter 1 and verse 3. If you have a Bible, please follow along, if you will. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I want to start at the end of that, but let's think about the fact that God blesses. That's the first one of these wonderful things. God blesses. And it says in the heavenly places. So he's speaking about spiritual blessings. Sometimes we limit our blessings to the things that we can get into our field of view. We can kind of think of all the things in our life, kind of scatter them out in our imaginary mind in front of us and look at all those things. But really he's talking about things that we don't see with these eyes, that we have spiritual blessings. And he's kind of pulling them away from the natural world into the supernatural world. And we should be pulled away. And I confess, I spend too much time with my mind locked into this world. And it takes the power of the Spirit to unlock our view of the spiritual world. So he says, we are blessed. And notice what he says. He says, you've been blessed. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. God indeed is in the blessing business. Sometimes we look at those scattered parts of our lives in front of us. We say, how can this be a blessing? That's a burden. That's a loss. That's trouble. That's frustration. Well, you understand that in the spiritual realm, things are a little more complete. We have the messiness of this life that he's changing us little by little. He's patiently leading us along. But as we look at this reality, that every spiritual blessing, it just reminds us that God is not withholding his blessing from us. That should do something that I think we would say in these terms. It should change our outlook. Sometimes we can get so pessimistic and so negative. Everything is bad. Everything is going downhill. Everything is falling apart. And it leaves us in a place of despair and no hope. And there's a lot of despair and lack of hope in our world today. So it should change our outlook. The outlook should be changed by this simple reality that God is in the blessing business. And he wants to bless you. And notice it says, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. These blessings are already intact. They're already available. It's not something that we have to wait for. Now, he begins in this passage, and I can't go back and re-preach all these messages, but just to remind you, he goes through a wonderful list of what these blessings are. And I would encourage you, and by the way, it would take you just a few moments, probably 20 minutes or so, to read again the entire book of Ephesians. And that would be, again, a good prep as we get back into this study and as we get into the verse by verse. So I would encourage you to do that. But it's these blessings are scattered out, and they're already available to us. He's in the blessing business. I would want you just to do this, and I want to do this for myself. May the Lord help us both together. Focus on his blessings. As we do, it'll change our outlook, and we'll come to expect that what is coming is good. We'll also come to see that maybe it doesn't look so good, but somehow in the great providence of God, it's all going to work together for good. So let the blessings of God, the fact that God is in the blessing business, be that which leads you to change your outlook. And friends, we need a lot of that right now. Let's look back into the scriptures at our next one. I call your attention down to verse 7, same chapter, chapter 1. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, this is taking place in that same list of spiritual blessings that he mentioned in verse 3. So we're just kind of cherry-picking one. But I want to think about forgiveness. And just remember this. This should be one of our favorite things, that God forgives us. And notice what he says in this verse. We have redemption through his blood. Salvation is full and free to us. But it costs God, his son, and cost Jesus his life. Don't forget that. It's in his blood. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through his shed blood, the giving of his life, the wages of sin was death. So don't ever let that get stale of what was done for us. But it says the forgiveness of sins. In other words, all of our sins before God are wiped off the slate, wiped clean. We are forgiven. We are brought into this place where we stand before him, not really even in a sense of innocency, but a sense of God takes his righteousness and wraps it around us, which is a concept that I really have to stretch my mind to even think about, let alone being able to fully comprehend. But we are dressed up in his righteousness. He sees us, think about this, he sees us washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. He sees us as righteous as Jesus himself. If that's not mind-boggling, I don't know what is. But look what he says and where it all comes from. According to the riches of his grace. Now, the problem we have with forgiveness is not believing that God forgives us, although maybe sometimes we do. Because sometimes our enemy likes to drop some seeds of mistrust and seeds of doubt into our minds. But sometimes we have trouble forgiving ourselves. We still remember. We still know. Those things of our past haunt us. We can't let go. We kind of keep, our mind just keeps resetting to our past. But it's all because of, it says, according to the riches of his grace. If we can focus on his point of view, maybe it will just change our point of view. And what is the reaction here? We talked about change of outlook as we looked at blessings. Maybe the change here is to eliminate some of our doubts and to create in us for some confidence. Confidence in that forgiven position that we have. Confident that he really does accept us. That we really are fit to be in heaven, not because of our works, but entirely because of his. That we look at ourselves differently. We're told in the scriptures that we are a new creature in Christ. All things have become new. Sometimes we don't feel that, but this is again is that not by sight, but by faith reality, that we are clean in him. So he says here, and I want to share this with you one more time, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. As you kind of think your way back through this book, just focus on this. We are blessed, yes, but we are also forgiven. We're made clean according to the riches of his grace, not that we have earned it, but that he has granted it. This should give us confidence that we stand before him. And sometimes when those whispers of doubts come into our mind, when our enemy likes to whisper, how could you be one of God's children when that is on your record? Or even in present tense, how can you be a follower of Christ when you are doing, you know what? We come back to the confidence, not in ourselves, but the confidence in him, that he indeed is the one who has forgiven us of all of our sins. Let's go on to our next point of a favorite thing. Let's go down to verses 13 and 14 where we find these words. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. By the way, that praise of his glory is seen several times in the book of Ephesians, as well as what we saw back in 1:3, that in the heavenly places, those are themes. Just note that as you reread this book, as you get kind of reconnected with it. But I want to look at this reality that God seals, and it's just part of this greater whole here of these two verses. It says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. A seal in their day was a bit of wax put on a document, and then a signet that had a particular shape unique to the owner or the authority that had it and was pressed into the wax. And it was a sign of authentic. This was an authentication that this was a real statement. It wasn't forged. It was a real document. So God says, I want to prove to everyone that you are sealed. You are mine. He does that not with wax or a sign or a visible manifestation, but he does it by giving us the Spirit of God who indwells us. He says, I want to put a mark on you. I want to put a mark that this is a real relationship. But a seal also proves ownership, doesn't it? You know, we would write our names on things that we hold valuable. We have a title to a car. We have a deed to a piece of property. Those documents are kept with a great deal of care. Because it proves ownership, or even a receipt or a bill of sale, those sorts of things. So he says, I want to prove that you belong to me. In other words, God wants to write his name on you. He does in the form of the person who lives within us, the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to get, as we get over into chapter 5 and chapter 6 of this book, we're going to see more of the Holy Spirit's work. So you be watching for that. But this is the power. This is the power agent. This is what changes us from the inside out. The fact that the Spirit of God comes and lives within us. And here's another mind-boggling truth. In fact, all these are mind-boggling truths. All these are things that just kind of like, wow, how can this be true? This is what the Scriptures teach, and this is what we need to fasten our minds on and then have a proper response to. The fact is, God comes and lives within us. Maybe we don't always feel it or sense it, but He is there. He's changing us from the inside out. Sometimes that change is not always comfortable. Sometimes it's pointing out our own faults. Sometimes it's convicting us of our transgressions and our sins, which even we as believers need to confess to Him. It is He who comes and works on the inside out. He's the one who gives us the ability. Anything that we do for God that's really something for God and has any significance, it's because the Spirit of God has empowered us to do it. I've said this before, and I just want to remind myself of this again, that if anything goes wrong, we take the blame. Anything goes right, God gets the credit. And particularly that credit goes to the Spirit of God who seals us, who indwells us. God is with us and He's always here. We're described that our body is the temple of the Lord. You think, what an amazing truth. The special place where God dwelt in the Old Testament times, even up through the New Testament times, was the temple of God. It was reverenced. You approached it with great caution. Everything was as it should be because this is where God dwelt. And that should be how we look at the reality of God being within us. What should that do for us? I just want to say that this should really eliminate our doubts. Confidence and doubts, we've kind of combined these two, last two together. But our doubts, are we really going to make it? Are we really making a difference in this world? Does this life even matter? Is there really this hope of heaven, or is this just sort of, you know, sometimes we hear these whispers of doubts, particularly when we hear the skeptics out there in the world telling us that these things can't be true. How can you believe in this? There's an alternate explanation to even where life came from, what life's about, how we're to behave in life, etc. But we need to come back that our reality is our doubts need to be just kind of erased because God has come to live within us. So let's think about that. Let's focus on that. Let's focus on that benefit, that what should become a favorite thing to us, that we are sealed with the Spirit of God. And may that help wash away those doubts in our lives. Now let's take a look at our next verse of Scripture. Well, I want to take you to verses 8 and then 9 of chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, these are probably some of the most famous words you're going to find in the book of Ephesians, one that many of us have committed to memory long ago. But let's just think about this. God blesses, God forgives, God seals, and God saves. And let's just rejoice in that. Let's just go back to that reality where we began our relationship with God through Christ in this wonderful thing of salvation. And really chapter 2 is just a wonderful statement of His love for us and His mercy for us and taking us from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive to eventually displaying His grace throughout all eternity. But it all hinges on this. Before by grace you've been saved through faith. Grace through faith. Grace, faith. Grace is God's part. That's what He did when He sent Jesus to die in our place. We deserve to be destroyed and condemned for all eternity. Jesus took that punishment on Himself and paid it fully by His substitutionary death on the cross. So that is grace. And then it says, you've been saved through faith. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. That's what verse 9 is all about, not of works. And this is the big lie. This is Satan's primary tool to get us messed up. For people who even believe in an afterlife, believe in a God, believe in salvation, he just simply twists it just enough and say, you can earn it yourself. Just be good. Don't be bad. Be better than everybody else. If you can just sort of beat the curve, if you can kind of outweigh the bad with enough good, then God's just got to let you into heaven. The problem is, even one particle of evil is enough to keep us separated from the Holy God. That's the reason we need to be forgiven and sealed, all those blessings that we were just talking about. So He paid for that, and now we receive it on faith. We just believe it. So I want to just put the word drive into our thinking. This is our response. First of all, I want to look at it two ways. First of all, that should drive you, that reality, if the Spirit would just open this up in your lives and in your life and in your mind. This is what should drive you to accept Christ. It's this wonderful opportunity that you can have a changed life now, and much more importantly, you can have a changed destiny in the future. Rather than facing unending judgment and punishment and torment, you can have unending blessing and all the wonders and joys of being in God's presence forever. How's this happen? He's done everything He needs to do. All that awaits is your moment of belief. If you've never trusted Him as your Savior, just put your belief in Him. Look at these two verses and pray over them and seek to understand them. And maybe you just pray a prayer where you just confess that you know you're a sinner, that you know you need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. And you're now believing in that gift of grace and receiving His gift of salvation. If you need to talk to one of us as pastors, contact us via the means you're watching today. We'd love to have a conversation with you. We've had some interesting conversations with folks that have contacted us that have never, ever been in our church building, but have interacted with us online. And we've seen some of those folks have some a real openness to the gospel. You need to be open to the gospel, so that should drive you. But for us as believers, this should drive us in our mission. This is what we're all about. We've had the opportunity in the last few weeks to see two people come to know Christ as their Savior and profess faith in Christ through various aspects of our ministry. And I love when that happens and hearing how God is using various people to be involved in that. But this should drive us on. It's so easy for us as believers to get focused in our own learning and our own group, as good as that is, and our own worship and our own routine, that sometimes we overlook that this, for by grace are you saved through faith, is the message that we need to proclaim. May God help us to do a little better job at that, or maybe a lot better job at that going forward. And I'm thankful for this opportunity in this pandemic world that we're living in, where not everybody can be together. It forces us to kind of take it out rather than bring people into here. So God help us to do that. So drive for us as believers, but may that drive you to accept the Lord as your Savior if you've not already done so. Let's go back to our next thing that we want to look at as a favorite. Let's flip over to chapter 3 and look at verse 16, where we find these words. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Next thing we want to think about is God does give strength. Now, this is part of a prayer. There's multiple prayers that you see in the book of Ephesians. And Paul had a great heart for these people in Ephesus. He loved them. He wanted to see them growing in Christ. He missed them. He didn't want them, and you'll see this in the book as you reread it, he didn't want them to be so discouraged because their hero, the one who had introduced them to Jesus, is now in prison and may never get out. And we know from history that eventually Paul gave his life for the gospel. Don't be discouraged by that. I want you to know that I am praying for you. And one of the things that he prays for, and God does grant, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Here's the measure. Here's the measuring stick. Here's the tape measure. How much strength can we get? According to the riches of his glory, it's unlimited. It's unlimited. If there's any limiting going on in our life, it's not because God's strength is used up. It's because our faith is not extended as it should be, or we're not paying attention, or we're focusing on our own selves rather than Him. May God help us to get that straightened out. But anyway, He says, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit. And I love this last phrase, in the inner man. That's where we need strength, because that's where our decisions are made. That's where our emotions are controlled. That's where our actions are dictated by what is going on in the inner man, in our thought life. In our heart, if you want to say it that way. That's where we need strength. We need to pray this for each other, because indeed this is a prayer. We need to pray this for ourselves. We need to pray this for other people. This should be a regular prayer for our family. Lord, strengthen them on the inside. Pray for our church family. And we just pray that God would be working on the inside. It says, with might through His Spirit. There's another one of those instances of where it is the Spirit it works. It will not be the last time we will see that reality in the book of Ephesians. So it's a theme that flows through. But He can give you strength. Where do you need strength today? Where do you need that? Sometimes we just feel so weak and so unable that we just give up. We just kind of sit like a blob along the road and see life pass us by. The word I want to throw into our thinking is the word energy. What should give us energy? What should give us that motivation to be active, to get our minds, to not just dwell on our failures, not just to sour in our things that go wrong in our lives, not be frustrated with the slowness of our progress as believers in the Lord, but instead we need to have the energy to say, that is real, I have struggles, I have weaknesses, how do I get going again? Lord, I need to be strengthened by You, by Your Spirit in the inner man. And I need that reminder. I assume you do too. May God remind us all that we can find our strength in Him. There's one more verse I want to look at, and come along with me. Let's look at it right now. I want to direct your attention to chapter 4 and verse 4, where we find these words. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Focus on that word one. And this is a major theme that you see in the book of Ephesians, because the Ephesus church was made up of Jews and Gentiles who had all embraced faith in Christ, but they came from different worlds. They came from completely different outlooks, different backgrounds, and now God's brought them all together. And that would have caused some tension and some confusion and misunderstanding, and it would have been a messy situation. But He reminds them that we are all one. He makes us all one. That's one of those things that should become one of our favorite things. That when we come to the cross, there's no one that's the head of the line. There's no one who has a leg up on us. We all have this same common relationship. And the commonness of that relationship is that which we should enjoy. And you probably figured out, even in the body of Christ, even in our own earthly families, there's a lot of differences of personality and a lot of things that are in play. I just want to insert the word patience into our thinking. May God give us patience with each other, because we all are one. We need to cut each other some slack. Rather than judging each other, we need to pray for each other. Rather than wondering what's wrong with them, we need to encourage them. And when we see faults in other people, let's just remember that they can see faults in us that oftentimes we can't see ourselves. That we need each other. We need to be in relationship with others, and we need to just be one. Because how would the world see that we're different if we don't act any different from the world? If the world sees us loving and caring and not fussing and fighting and all those sorts of things in life, that we can then have a testimony that people would tend to see as real. The word I just want to put into your thinking is patience. May God give us patience with each other. And sometimes when we are close together and we focus on faults, we can get really, really irritated. Sometimes that can break out into a real struggle. I'm convinced that one of the keys of keeping us in a sense of unity is directing our attention ever and always back to the Word of God, allowing the Spirit to then take His Word and put it into a place of usefulness in our lives, to help us to just kind of always be reorienting and refocusing our thoughts on Him. So let me read that verse again. There's one body and spirit, just as you recalled in one hope of your calling. We have one hope. We have one way of salvation. And there's that commonness about all of us. May God help us to have patience with each other. Maybe you need to think of somebody. There's just somebody that I have a hard time being patient with. Maybe that would be your clue, your cue to say, I really need to pray for that person. I really need to encourage that person. And then turn it around with a mirror in our own thinking and say, what about me? What needs to change in me? Where do I need to ask God to be working on me? Where do I need to be cooperating with the power of the Spirit in my life? Well, that's just a short list. We've talked about God blesses, God forgives, God seals, God saves, God gives strength, God makes us one. That's just a few of the favorite things in this wonderful book, even to this point. And we have slightly less than 3 chapters remaining. But I hope that this book is starting to become alive for you. And I hope this little refresher here in the middle of our study is of value to you. But may we just kind of boil it all down to this reality. If we focus on who God is, and we focus on responding to what He says to us, then that's going to help us move forward in our lives and live a life that is pleasing to Him. May God give us the grace and the strength, and we know He will, to accomplish just that for His glory. May God bless you, and may God bless all of us as we continue to follow Him faithfully and in obedience.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.